Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our gospel text from Luke today, it confronts some deeply held views about God and about our desire for peace. And I have to be honest with you, Jesus' words present a challenge for a pastor. And not only pastors, but pastors, you know, in my line of work, you see a lot of division. I mean, you see divided families, sometimes you see divided congregations, divided denominations, and certainly in our country, you see it as well, a divided nation. And as a pastor, you try to bring peace. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. And so here comes Jesus, who Isaiah foretold he's coming as the Prince of Peace. Let's hear it again. The Prince of Peace. And Luke himself records at Jesus' birth, there were all these angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace to men on earth. So here Jesus comes and he says, do you think I have come to give peace on earth? And he says, no, but rather division. I was like, thanks a lot. He says, for from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three. They'll be divided father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And maybe you understand the last one. And you begin to feel like, after all this struggle to try to bring peace, peace to people's lives, to bring reconciliation among people, Jesus comes and throws gas on the fire. And in fact, that's what he says he's going to do. Cast fire on the earth. So it's a hard text. And I think the difficulty for me, maybe for you too, stems from kind of this cultural assumption that we have, that we tell ourselves about God and His relationship to us. As Americans, we tend to believe that our life is about the pursuit of happiness. It's in our Declaration of Independence. We tend to believe that God, if we believe in Him, if we consider Him at all, well, God exists to give me happiness because that's what I'm pursuing. God just wants me to be happy. Well, God wants more than that. But our prayers, what do we pray for? We pray for good things like healing for the sick. And we're going to pray for that later today. We pray for favorable weather. We pray for economic prosperity. We pray for reconciliation among nations and in our lives. And these are good things. And we should pray for them. But when they're centered on our own happiness, we're missing a good part of the picture. Jesus is clear in this text. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Yes, Jesus is clearly saying He came to divide. He's in the business of dividing. So we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean? What can He mean? How can the Prince of Peace be about dividing? Now, I want you to hear this very clearly. God's ultimate purpose is not just to divide families. not to divide spouses, not to divide children against their parents or against their parents-in-law. His chief goal is something different. His chief goal is to separate us, to divide us from that sin that we're clinging to, and to unite us with Himself. That's why Jesus came. His words in our reading today describe what happens when Jesus comes and when that division comes. Jesus came to divide us from our sinful thoughts and habits. He came to divide us from a false view of the world that is centered just on our own happiness, and from distortions in His Word. That's what the text about Jeremiah is about. We love to hear people, prophets, who say, "Oh, I dreamed this," or "I heard this from God," and it's an easy message. Well, you got to hear something first. Jesus says, "I wish that this fire was already kindled." He's talking about, he says, there's a baptism I have to be baptized with. And he's already been baptized into Jordan. You say, "Jesus, what are you talking about?" He's talking about the cross. His baptism of fire is going to be His crucifixion and His death. That's why He's so solemn here when He talks to you. He's troubled. When He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's full of dread as He prays, "Father, Thy will be done. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to suffer." Who would? He dreads the fire and the bloody baptism of crucifixion and death. And he dreads something else too. He dreads being divided from his Father, God the Father. That's what happened on the cross. When he says, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was forsaken on the cross. He was divided from his Father. If you think you've got problems in your family, divisions in your family, think about the heavenly family. The Son of God being divided from God the Father and the Holy Spirit to death, that he doesn't have to suffer for you and for me. That's how much he loves you. Enough to separate you from your sin. Enough to take that sin upon you. I mean, upon himself. So that you don't have to bear it. Isaiah talks about the peace that Christ is going to bring when he returns in glory. Isaiah says, it seems very poetic. Isaiah says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." If you go to New York City to the United Nations building, they have that. Isaiah, you want the reference? Isaiah 11:6. Inscribed, carved in stone at the entrance to the United Nations. "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." And we think about peace on earth. And at Christmas time, when we talk about peace on earth, that's what we tend to think of. But it's way more than that. Yes, that is part of it. But it's way more than that. It's more than an absence of war between peoples. That's why this is so important. Jesus came. He endured the cross, the crucifixion, death, for the purpose of His resurrection. To unite people to Himself in forgiveness and in purity and in holiness and in love. The problem with us in our lives is we want to believe in a Jesus where there is no cross, where there is no suffering, where everything's, it's all good, it's all good. It is good, but it's only because of His suffering and death. It's only because He loved you enough to do that for you. To separate you from your sin that you can't separate yourself from. To transform you. So that your baptism unites you to that suffering, to that cross, to that death, His death, that you might not die eternally. And that you might be joined with Him in your baptism to the resurrection of Christ. And the forgiveness and holiness and righteousness that that gives you. So that you're bathed in that and you live in that. One of the most painful effects of the cross, of the gospel, is the division that happens in families because of it. Jesus gives an example of five: mother, father, son, daughter, and I guess son's wife. Two divided against three. Some believed in Christ, some don't. Division. Pain. Very few families have the blessing of being all united in Christ. If you have it, give thanks for it. If you don't, like most of us, maybe you felt that pain. Felt the pain of wondering where somebody that you love, where are they going to spend their eternity? Well, I encourage you to take comfort. You who struggle and doubt because of the divisions. Jesus knows your pain. He is in pain and anguish when He says these words. I mean, wouldn't you rather be the Jesus who comes and says, everything's going to be fine? Once His brothers and His mother came to Him and thought He was crazy about what He was teaching, and they tried to take charge of Him. Tried to take Him away. And He said, these are My mother and My brothers, those who believe in Me, those who trust in Me, because those who know where I'm going, or trust even if they don't understand it. But He went to the cross for us, to be separated from His Father for us, to forgive us. So how do you deal with division in your lives? Remember that Jesus knows your sadness and your pain. He was tempted in every way that you are, but without sin. He was persecuted within His hometown and within His own family. He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And this is how the peace comes. It's not an armistice in this world. Peace comes through the victory of Christ. It's why it's a peace that's more than the absence of war. That's what an armistice is. Okay, we'll stop shooting if you stop shooting for a while. Until one of you decides to break it. one of us decides to break it. That's what an armistice is. That's not peace. Jesus came to give peace between God and mankind for all time. It's achieved in His resurrection. It's achieved in your resurrection. When you will be made pure and holy and able to be united with God in Christ. Once and for all. And then, united in the Holy Family. A family that cannot be broken asunder by anything. Because we have been separated from sin and death and hell forever. So, keep on witnessing to your loved ones. Not in an obnoxious way, but gently and lovingly. Keep showing them the love of Christ, because that's the only place they're going to see it, is from Christians. Keep telling them the word that they are forgiven, that God loves them, and that God is desperately, through Christ, trying to separate them and me and you from our sin. He goes to great lengths to do it. For you and for me. And take heart. For in heaven there will be no more divisions. Just perfect peace and unity in Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.